Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name's Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. I hope your week has been an exciting one. There have been quite a few changes in my gardening space here at home and at the orchard, which could potentially have really exciting outcomes for my family over the next few years. And if you have been monitoring my social media, which I must confess, I have not been as proactive or as active as I probably should have been on those accounts over the last year or so, but I am showcasing a number of posts, both video and static posts, about our journey so far, especially around the mushrooms. Now, I know that this is a gardening podcast and not just a growing mushrooms podcast, but it is a big part of what we have been doing to convert our town section into creating sustainable income for our family. And I have so many ideas as to how we can achieve them. Basically, this week is the first week that we have been able to put a number of fully colonized mushroom mycelium bags into the grow room. It has been almost a nail biting experience, and to think I had given up biting my nails when I was a preteen. Regardless, after a lot of mucking around with the CO2 extraction and the hydro fogging with the fresh air mixed into the fogging water, we finally have, by the time this episode goes live, edible mushrooms. I can't decide if we are going to fry them in garlic butter or if I do a spinach and mushroom pasta. I have so many ideas on how I want to be able to have this first mushroom harvest for our family. Of course, this is only the first batch, which is very much a trial and error. In no way are they in any shape or form ready for commercial selling, but we are so close, and we have over 140 bags currently incubating, which once they start coming on will produce approximately 140 plus kilos of a mixture of the grey and pink oyster mushrooms. The pink is slightly more aggressive in its growth and it doesn't like a lot of temperature fluctuations, which is why I ended up doing them a little bit later on with regards to the inoculation of substrate, because I just couldn't afford to have them go off. My theory was that by the time they were ready to go into the fruiting room, we would have sorted out the issues with oxygen levels versus the CO2 present in the fruiting room. Now, if you don't know, this mushrooms actually breathe oxygen like we do. So the CO2 is a byproduct of their respiration, and too much CO2 in the atmosphere can cause a lot of damage to the growth of the mushroom, especially when they first start pinning, which is pretty much the primordial stage of the mushroom. I also believe it's one of the most exciting stages of growing mushrooms, as when you first start to see the very tips of the mushroom mycelium start to form fruiting bodies. Now, if you do get a chance, check out my Facebook page, which is what I tend to live on more than anything else. I also have a TikTok account, and I will put up when I have actually been putting some of my mushroom growing methodologies on there. So early days yet, but it is definitely a big passion of mine, and I could not have done this without my amazing hubby choosing to do this for us. Now, just to be clear, hubby has given up 3/4 of his garage in this pursuit of growing mushrooms and supporting my passion. So yes, it really was a sacrifice for him, considering he now has hardly any room left to fix his equipment or tractors or any of our work vehicles. So I really, really need to make these mushrooms work and prove to him that his sacrifice was absolutely worth it. Now, another really exciting thing we've been doing is at the orchard, where we also have our bee yard and a number of shipping containers that store a lot of our honey hive gear when not in use. These have been shifted around now and put in a position that once we get the funding, we can put a 30 by 10 meter plastic house up and we can genuinely start looking at growing flowers that are suitable for cut flowers so that we can sell to florists, etc. That part of our next step is going to have to wait a little bit, but at least the foundations are there for the plastic house. Okay, So last week's episode was an incredible hit, and I have had a number of comments come back asking for more around winter gardening itself, which is a very cool topic. And I thought about it, and basically I started writing down my bullet points around things that I do in our winter garden to ensure that I have a consistent food source coming in, regardless of it being freezing cold and extremely wet. Yes, I know it's only autumn at the moment, but it's so important to get organized ahead of time. Winter isn't actually so far away. Consequently, the result is getting into this episode, focusing on winter. So let's start with explaining what a flourishing cold season garden is. And in a nutshell, a flourishing cold season garden is a vibrant oasis of plant life that thrives during the colder months of the year, when most landscapes tend to be dormant. This type of garden is carefully curated with plants that are not only capable of surviving, but also thriving in lower temperatures. These gardens can include a variety of plant types, such as perennials, annuals, shrubs, and even certain vegetables and herbs that are cold hardy. Before I forget, a really great way to ensure that you're up to date with when to plant things for your garden is winter, especially, is visiting your garden centres regularly and seeing what they are starting to bring in for their fresh winter stock. Over the years, for some reason, I always missed the start of the season, which meant that when I was planting winter crops, I would always either be too late or too early. But I realised that tracking the garden centre stock meant that my timelines we're a whole lot better, and that leads nicely into the following. Now, a winter garden doesn't just magically happen. Planning your winter garden in advance offers a heap of benefits that extend well beyond the mere beauty of having greenery during the coldest months. So here are a few reasons I plan my winter gardens in advance and the benefits that gardeners can reap from such foresight. So firstly, advanced planning allows for better selection and availability of plants. Many winter-friendly plants need to be sourced or ordered ahead of time, especially if they are rare or in high demand, such as a number of deciduous fruit trees varieties, right? By planning early, gardeners can ensure they get the specific varieties they desire without the disappointment of stock shortages. I had this a number of years ago when I was ordering my Louisa plum trees. This also opens up the opportunity to select plants that are well suited to the local climate and soil conditions, which are crucial for gardening success, right? Secondly, it affords the gardener the time to prepare the soil adequately. Soil preparation is a crucial step that can significantly impact the health and growth of winter plants. By planning in advance, gardeners can amend the soil with the necessary nutrients and ensure it has the proper pH balance. This preparation phase also allows for the incorporation of organic matter, such as compost, which can improve soil structure and fertility, leading to a more vibrant and healthy garden. So not necessarily this year, but definitely next winter, with the byproduct waste coming from the mushroom growing, I have every intention of utilizing that goodness back into our gardens. I am so not wasting any of that goodness, especially because the mushrooms we grow does very well in wood chip mixed with bran, which is a nice nitrogen boost for the garden as well. Now, thirdly, advanced planning helps in designing a more cohesive and aesthetically pleasing garden layout. Gardeners can thoughtfully consider plant height, colour, texture, and bloom time to create visually appealing arrangements that provide interest throughout those winter months. There's nothing like a boring winter garden. This careful planning can transform a garden into a stunning outdoor space that enhances the overall beauty, of one's home and provides a serene retreat. Here's my fourth one. Planning your winter garden in advance allows for better pest and disease management. I cannot stress to you how important this is. By selecting disease-resistant plant varieties and planning for sufficient spacing between plants, gardeners can reduce the risk of disease spread and pest infestation. This proactive approach can save time and resources that might otherwise be spent on managing these issues during the last, you know, the growing season. Again, check all your pots and all your hidden spaces and put out your baits for your rodents and all the rest of it, especially if they are in there impacting on your gardens. It is a perfect time to get to them before the spring starts coming in. Lastly, an advanced planned winter garden can offer psychological and physical health benefits. The process of planning and anticipating the garden provides a sense of purpose and obviously excitement. I really do get excited about this stuff during those colder months. Once the garden is in place, it becomes a source of fresh air, natural beauty, and peaceful, you know, haven for relaxation and reflection. Gardening activities, even in winter, can also provide physical exercise, which is beneficial for overall health. So again, generally planning your winter garden in advance brings practical benefits such as better plant selection and soil preparation, as well as aesthetic advantages through thoughtful garden design. It also promotes a healthier garden ecosystem and enhances the gardener's well-being. These benefits make a compelling case for the early planning of winter gardens. When planning for your winter garden, something I also do is create a winter budget. Yes, I know how very Dutch of me, but when it comes to the cultivation of a garden that thrives year-round, the idea of preparing a winter gardening budget is an essential consideration. The strategic approach to gardening not only ensures your garden's sustainability throughout the colder months, but also helps in maintaining its beauty and productivity. However, like any plan, it comes with its set of advantages and disadvantages. One of the primary benefits of having a winter gardening budget is the ability to allocate resources effectively and efficiently. By knowing exactly how much you can spend, you can prioritize the purchases of, say, cold hardy plants, invest in quality mulch for insulation, and perhaps even allocate funds towards a greenhouse or cloche to protect delicate plants. This foresight can prevent overspending and ensure that every dollar you invest contributes towards extending the life and the vibrancy of your garden into the winter months. Additionally, a well-planned budget can also account for the unexpected, such as replacing plants lost to early frost or investing in emergency proactive protective measures against sudden cold snaps. However, the process of preparing a winter gardening budget also has its drawbacks. One significant con is the potential limitation it can place on spontaneity and flexibility. Gardens are dynamic, right? And what works one winter might not be as effective the next due to changes in weather patterns or new gardening interests. Being too rigid with a budget might mean missing out on opportunities to experiment with new plants or gardening techniques that could enhance your garden's winter appeal. Moreover, the initial process of creating a detailed budget can be time-consuming and requires a good understanding of both gardening needs and financial planning, which might be daunting to some. So while a winter gardening budget is a valuable tool for ensuring your garden remains a source of joy and bounty through the colder months, it's important to balance careful planning with the flexibility to adapt to your garden's evolving needs. By doing so, you can enjoy the benefits of a well-maintained winter garden without feeling constrained by your budgetary decisions. By far, winter gardening is the most challenging time of year, but maintaining a flourishing garden can, especially during the colder months, is a challenge, like we mentioned, that can be met with strategic planning and care. Now, I'm not going to be accused of not delivering on my podcast topic, so here are those secrets I promise to keep your cold season garden thriving. Please note that these secrets are suitable for gardeners of all levels. The first secret is to choose the right plants. Success starts with selecting plants that are suited to your local climate and can withstand cooler temperatures. Look for cold, hardy vegetables like kale, spinach, and Brussels sprouts, as well as flowers like pansies and violas that thrive in colder weather. Also, if in doubt, definitely ask your local gardening club what works and what doesn't. The second secret is to utilize microclimates. Every garden has microclimates. Areas that may be warmer or more protected, placing your cold-sensitive plants in these spots can give them an extra edge against the cold. For example, a wall that receives ample light during the day can radiate heat during the night, creating a slightly warmer microclimate. If you have never done a winter at your location before, then pay attention. Turn your environment, even if in the first winter you don't actually plant anything, and just take stock of what is actually happening in your garden that you can utilize that as part of your planning for the following winter. The next secret isn't really a secret because I harp on it about it quite regularly, and that is to, if you're a regular listener, you guessed it, to implement mulching. Mulching is vital for protecting roots from freezing, conserving moisture, and suppressing weed growth. Organic mulches like straw, shredded leaves, or bark chips can add insulation and, as they decompose, improve soil health. The next secret has to be one of my favorites, and it leads to employ season extenders. Tools like cold frames, cloches, and greenhouses can extend your growing season by protecting plants from frost. Even floating row covers can offer a few degrees of temperature moderation, making a significant difference in survival and productivity. The beauty of these season extenders, they don't actually have to be expensive either. They could be as simple as some of your plastic storage boxes placed upside down and used as mini glass houses, or even old solder bottles cut and utilized to protect winter ceilings from the weather. Okay, this next secret is a tricky one, and that is to water wisely. Plants need less water in cooler weather, but it's important to ensure that they're not left dry. Watering in the morning on a sunny day gives the water a chance to be absorbed before the cooler night temperatures set in. It is extremely important also to not overwater, because overwatering can also fully cause your soil to saturate, which is where the soil becomes completely waterlogged and it does more damage to your root systems than almost being too dry over winter. And this next secret, I cannot stress enough, and winter is the perfect time to focus on soil health. Cold season gardening can drain the soil of its nutrients. Incorporating compost or well-rotted manure in the fall can replenish and revitalize your garden beds, ensuring that they are ready to support plant growth. This next secret, honestly, how many of us actually do this, especially when we don't have a lot of room, and that is to practice crop rotation. Rotating where you plant your crops each season can help prevent soil-borne diseases and pest infestations. This practice is crucial for maintaining a healthy garden year-round. Honestly, if you can do this one thing in your garden, and that is practicing crop rotation, you're already winning the war on garden pests and diseases. In winter, I tend to become extremely vitamin D deficient, and that is no different to the garden plants. And the next secret, well, it's a no-brainer, which is to take advantage of natural light. Position your garden to maximize exposure to sunlight. As the sun's path changes during the colder months, ensure your plants are placed to receive ample light throughout the day. This is particularly useful when you do container plantings. I touched on this briefly before, and that is to keep an eye on pests. Right, cold weather doesn't mean pests disappear. Continue to monitor for signs of pest activity and disease and act quickly to mitigate any issues. Some pests like to overwinter in plant debris, so keeping your garden clean can help reduce their numbers. This last secret I want to impart with is plan for succession planting. To ensure a continuous harvest, plan for succession planting. This involves staggering planting dates or planting varieties with different maturity rates. This way, as one crop finishes, another one is coming into production. I am a huge fan of succession planting, and I practice it in my garden all the time. Now, adapting these strategies to fit your specific garden conditions and climate can help you achieve a very productive and beautiful garden, even in the colder months. Now, remember, every garden and its local environment are unique, so it's essential to keep learning and adjusting your practices to find what works best for you. I hope that there was something of interest in this episode. Whether you're a seasoned gardener or just starting out, let me know what your favorite winter crops are and why. I'm totally fascinated with this. If you do have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list, and every now and again I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions. Every week I mention this, and don't be shy. Let me know if you are needing some private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out, let's chat. I have a few one-on-one gardenery mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details, as always, are in the show notes. Don't forget to email or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. And as always, I say gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week, and I'll buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at The Messed Up Gardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out my The Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening, and buzz you later.